Amos chapter 3 and 3, we have been looking at the subject, can two walk together except they be agreed? And we have not exactly read much of the Amos part, but let's try and visit a bit. In verse 1, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, children of Israel, against the whole family, which are brought from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, wherefore I'll punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gain is for him? Where one shall take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall the trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Verse 7, surely the Lord will do nothing except he reveals his secret unto his servants the prophets. So the first thing, this, the immediate context is of course Israel and God, and then the prophets of God, showing how the prophets of God and God are saying the same thing. That's the context of what he's saying. So you have a subcontext also of God and Israel itself, which is the rhetoric is, how can we walk together except we are agreed? And the word agreed there has to do with being designated, referring to purpose, except there is a purpose, except there is a cause. And when you look at the word walk, you find certain individuals that phrase walk applies to. Genesis 5:22, Enoch, Genesis 6 and 9, Noah, Genesis 17, 1, Abraham, and of course Psalm 56 verse 13, and Psalm 116 verse 9, to walk together, to fellowship together, to be in partnership together. The word alak. And the word together is, alak is H-A-L-A-K, the word together is yachad, Y-A-C-H-A-D, to be united. In other words, it is a purpose, a cause, a common cause, a designation, an appointment that causes people to walk together. People can be referred to as friends and they don't walk together. People can be in the same organization, they don't walk together. People can be in a marriage, they don't walk together. People can be in the same ministry and church and they don't walk together. But where two walk together is because there is a common cause. There is what binds them together. So we said in this series that one of the key elements of fruitful, effective relationships is a common cause. And I must say this to you, I'll probably elaborate as the service goes on, that the phrase fall in love is one of the most deceitful words, because love is a choice. Either positively or negatively, it's a choice. So, for a believer, his love or what he loves or who he loves has to be a choice. Either a choice influenced by one circumstance or the other. A choice influenced by one situation. A choice influenced by a person. A choice influenced by every choice is influenced. I told you on Sunday, there's nothing called independent mindedness. It's just a lie. There's no singular independent person. There's nobody who is not a product of influence. And so, a very vital element, and God is saying here that there's that two, and the two will be God and his prophet. And then with that, you have God and Israel. Can God and his prophet walk together except there's a common cause? So, relationships are that effective and fruitful where there is a common ground. What is the common ground? We'll come to it as we proceed further. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission. He came unto them and spake, saying, "All authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation." Verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I've whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always till the end of the age. So we have the word mathetuo, to make a disciple. To make a disciple or to make a student. In other words, to make a student of what? And we highlighted that earlier, that salvation is an instant decision. Discipleship is a long-lasting, lifelong commitment. Discipleship is like a school. In Matthew 11, verse 28, 29 and 30. Matthew's Gospel, 11, verse 28. The 27 has to do with knowing what the Father reveals through the Son. Then the 28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oftentimes people misquote that, the word kataposis in the Greek. Then in verse 29, take my yoke upon you, the word zygon, or zygon, Z-Y-G-O-N. A yoke means let's walk together. A yoke means let's do it together. A yoke means let's be tied together. And learn of me. In other words, to learn of him, he says we have to be tied together. Learn of me. So it's not a yoke of, you know, people say, come unto me, all you that body, I'll give you rest. I think when you have problems in something, you say, come unto me, I'll give you rest, I'll take the problem away. That's not what it's talking about. Even though at the moment when you read it, it gives you comfort. But oftentimes when God sees how we read his word, he will say, man, you guys are very creative. He says, and learn of me, the word mantano, M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O, just the verb of the student. Learn like a student. What he's saying here doesn't happen once, it's a continual action. Learn of me, the word mantano. And see how it is used. In Matthew 9:13, go and learn what it means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Learn the scriptures. Mantano. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branches yet untender, dear tender, and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Learn there is school. Mark 13 and 28. Mark 13. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. We read that earlier. John 6:45. John 6:45. John 6:45. This is about the Father. They shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that had heard and had learned of the Father comes to me. John 7. This is in reference to Jesus. Verse 15. Oh, this man, how knoweth this man the letters? Have never been schooled or was not educated. Romans 16:17, where Paul says, anyone which is a contrary doctrine that you have not learned, you have not been taught. Ephesians 4:20, we have not so learned Christ. All the references of learning is the scriptures. Philippians 4:9, the things you have seen or learned and received from me, Paul's example. Then Philippians 4:11, I have learned to be content in whatsoever circumstance I am. Hebrews 5:9, we've learned obedience by the things that he has suffered. So the learning here is to see an example and follow it, or to see the written word, which is also exemplary, and follow it. So what he's saying in Matthew 11, 29 and 30 is, be my disciple. Be my disciple of exactly what? Matthew 11. And then verse 29. I am meek and lowly in heart. You hardly read that. And you shall find rest to your souls. So what are you learning from him? What he has learned. How? By being meek and lowly. Humility. Meekness. In other words, just like Hebrews 5 and 9, we learn, Hebrews 5 and 8, sorry, we learn obedience by the things he suffered. So the yoke we take upon ourselves is the responsibility of discipleship. It's easy and light. That is, his lifestyle is what he meant. It's easy and light. So a yoke and a burden are phrases used in discipleship. That is the, have you ever come in contact with your syllabus before? Course outline. That is the yoke. That is the burden. So he says, my life is the syllabus. My life is the course curriculum. Then you will find rest in my life. And so, but I want you to observe the background of that is take my yoke upon you. In other words, the first thing is to come into a vital union, fellowship and friendship and relationship with him. Then the rest will come. So, therefore, it contrasts with what we saw on Sunday, 2 Corinthians 6 and 4. Do not be unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. Who remembers the illustration I used on Sunday? Can you tell me the illustration? You point to her. And who? Who did I want to use? Who did I first use? So that you not start having imaginations, I changed it. So I use a tall person and a short person and ask them to walk together. And you can see that she was looking up to the hills from where cometh her help. And she was saying, down at your feet. Oh God is the most. So they can't see together. Okay? There are certain imbalances already. So when it comes to a yoke, somebody has to come to the other person's level. But can two walk together except they are both appointed? Then 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And that would drive us later to our fundamental basic or basis of relationship, which is values. Now, you can see a Christian who doesn't value his Christianity. In other words, it's a secondary thing to him. So it doesn't, when a Christian starts telling you, well, I know he's not a Christian and you want to marry the person, male and female, I know she's not a Christian, or I know he's not so spiritual, or I know she's not spiritual, the person is showing you his or her values. I remember when I was in university, I was in my first year, so somehow I had the privilege of having this access to those who were the leadership of the fellowship then. And so I had this information. I was right there anyway. They had the meeting somewhere, but I got to know what they were talking about because they asked me. Now the sisters they discovered that many of the sisters of the fellowship were getting into relationship with unbelievers. And they said, why was this going on? Now because oftentimes when fellowship is done, you have to walk home. There were many off-campus accommodations then. I think they've changed it now. I think the whole school is in one campus. But then that was the way it was. So then I said that while the brothers were praying, spirit, they would go like this, sisters would go like this. The unbelieving classmates will wait till the fellowship is over. And then they'll see off the sisters on the road to Emmaus. So somewhere along the line, of course, continual communication, which also influences all of us. Continual communication, continual sightseeing always influences your decisions. So no doubt, even if you had just left the Mount of Transfiguration, and then consistently after being transfigured, you go down, no tabernacle formed, and you keep going every day. I mean, after prayer meeting, after Bible study, after Sunday service, there's these guys that always wait behind to see you off. Of course, you will talk. And all of that's it. So then I said, what are we going to do? We said, well, we brethren need to stop being spirit. We need to stop being spirit. From now henceforth, we're now going to start designating brothers to see off the sisters. And so, Brother Wale Raji then asked me the question. He said, MOG, that was the question. MOG, what do you think we should do? I just gave a straight answer. All your sisters are carnal. He's in trouble. I said, they're all carnal. I said, it has nothing to do with who is seeing them off. So, you know, I was lonely. And you, in church, you keep saying you are the temple of God. So, you are contradicting yourself. I was lonely. So, who fulfilled your destiny? Your same. I said, they don't, the problem is they don't have values. That's a simple thing. He said, but Emoji, it's true. But his own was like, if we're going to implement what you are saying, we will have lost all the members. I don't know how they got to them, but then I just said my own and I walked away. But the point is true, they don't have values. I mean, how can you be so cheap that a straw? I mean, look at it. He keeps saying that, let me see some of our songs. What can wash away our sins? I will never repay you, but from my heart, you come to say, I thank you for the grace that you have given us. You say all those things. Oh, the costly blood of Christ. Money cannot buy it. Yet, a car can buy it. Some is even a recharge card. Trouble is even that I learned about something during the week. I didn't know. 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, 1 gig. Is it 1,000 naira? Some is just lunch. Consider lunch. Some is pizza. So stop lying to us that I can never repay. You have paid it back. Amen. Some is just a car. Oh! 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, we saw the vital elements of this yoke. Let me just run through those words. If you're not around, when the teaching is out, you listen to it. We mentioned the first is unequal yoke, we said is the word heterozygon. There are two things that are of different sort. You are a believer. There's no amount of issues you can have against a local church. You are still a believer. Do you understand? No amount of, you know, you are still a believer. I remember somebody told me something. And, you know, he went to someone for counsel. And as the person was trying to counsel her, she said she was first crying. And the person moved away from counseling. She said she cleaned her eyes and said, ah, hold on. No, I just came for counseling. I didn't mention that part. No, I was just trying to bear my heart. No. Keep your heart, sir. Thank you. And she cleaned her face. Okay. I don't want to give you details. But the point is that when you are crying, make sure you can see. You understand the point? Make sure you see. You get my point? So, what fellowship are darkness with light? Metoche. Partnership. What communion, 2 Corinthians 6, at righteousness on righteousness, communion that is koinonios, that is you are, what is common? At least, is a rhetoric. What are you seeing that is together? What concord, symphony, remember that? And I asked you on Sunday, I said, let us play. I asked some very anointed instrumentalists to play together. And you all knew you were hearing rubbish. Because it's a discordant tune. A lion and a fish loving each other. One of them has to either be, is that a lion becomes a fish? And the impossible one is a fish becoming a lion. But sometimes when values are degraded and love takes over, the lion starts to behave like a cat. You know, it's you. It's because of you. When there's also money in issue between any sort of gender, start saying, I understand how it feels. But it's a discordant tune. And so he goes further and says, what part marries used for inheritance hath he that believeth an infidel? What agreement, socatizo, which is consent? I know we added also consent, assent. Where is the assent going to come from? You know, it's like, they say, go and call your witness. Then you call somebody who's going to witness a document for you, and they say, this kind of person cannot witness for you. They say, why? And because you are not from the same side. I mean, this kind of person cannot witness for you. And so, there's such a thing about having such values. And Paul says, come out from amongst them. And we say, it doesn't mean to run out of the world. And be ye separate. And then in chapter 7 verse 1, it says, perfecting holiness, epitelio, which is to perform your uniqueness in the fear of God. So we said, every relationship, even if it is secular, even if it is just a normal, cordial relationship, must always have the fear of God. So therefore, a question you are going to ask yourself, which is important, I told you, no relationship must be imposed on you. You must be a vital party in choosing the relationship. Now, he says, let me get back to my notes again. What are your values? So, I said on Sunday, you must have a relationship control. Don't have relationships that cannot be defined. You can sit back and say, and don't forget I said something earlier. Anytime there's consistent communication, anytime there's consistent affinity, that is, affinity means somebody comes close to you, anytime there's sights, regular sights, there will be influence. Now, you cannot stop people from coming around you. You can't even stop people from calling you by phone. You can't stop people from, you know, many things you can find. You can't stop people from being who they are. But you can decide the kind of influence they will have. For example, on Sunday I told you about having business mentors. Your business mentor need not be a Christian. Happy are you if he's born again. Or she's born again. Well, just like school, you don't walk out of the class because your lecturer is a Muslim. No. Christian. They'll go and get, even if you go for BSc theology, it's not likely that the lecturer is born again. So, it will just be double wala for anybody. You can have, for example, I love hearts and I love writing, and my mentor is Professor Wole Soyinka, for example. And I made it a duty to read his books and all of that. In fact, if you are in my house and I see Wole Soyinka's pictures, I run there and increase the volume. The other people are here, I don't want to mention their names so that you have problems. but you must know, and Wole Soyinka, for example, does not believe in the gospel. And he says it. I mean, I've had the chance to interview him once. And I said to him, why doesn't he believe God? And the answer I gave me, I laughed. I said, why was I laughing? I said, because it didn't make sense. And he didn't have a problem with that. It's quite a very liberal soul, really. And all that. Because the way he was trying to question Christianity, I questioned the more in me he was talking about. That was some, that's a while, 28 years ago. So, you can have people like that, but you must have relationship control. And that relationship control is your spiritual growth. Your boss at work need not be a Christian, but your boss at work can be a good boss. Do you understand what I'm saying? In fact, some of my favorite lecturers, in fact, the believers are the ones that probably at most of the time will fail you. They'll fail you anyhow. You know? Not all of them, but some of them. They will come to class on time and they will attend class one. Oh, class one is the Christian Fellowship of Lawyers. You now see that lecturer that is so lazy saying, Jesus, you want to raise your hand and say, nonsense. I come in late for lectures. You fail people anyhow. There's even one of them who used to be like the, I think the head. I don't want to mention his name, but I can mention his name. If I one day I saw him as in one of the legal teams of an opponent. And I said, no wonder they lost. This is now, after many years, how will they lose? Born again man, oh, but he was known that if people would go to him and say, I did very well. He said, what did you score? He says, 44. Wow, that is brilliant. Born again man. You understand? So, you know, that could never have been a mentor. In fact, one of my favorite lecturers, a woman, you know, was quite a community. I just love the way that she taught. The first thing I noticed was that the course she took, there are two courses she took when I was in my fifth year, and everybody passed it. And it wasn't hard to see. She is an excellent communicator. You will love the course. Interestingly, she was the only lecturer that I gave it to in school when she talked about the Bible. She was saying there was chauvinism in the Bible. I said, no. Everybody look back at this guy. He said, what do you mean? I said, don't worry, I can quote the Bible for you. He said, okay, you're correct. I knew I was correct. So I sat down. But she was my favorite. In fact, you've probably seen me give her eulogies on Facebook. When she had, every time she has a birthday, I always recognize her. But my values will not allow me. In fact, there was a time she was giving a whole lot of talk about how homosexuality, gay and all that. I was just laughing. The fact that I like you doesn't mean we have to believe alike. So you must have relationship control. Generally. Now, you know, this is not possible for somebody you have gotten married to. That one, it is sin control you will start using, because you cannot control the relationship again. There is already one. Do you understand? So in this instance, mentors, academic mentors, you can have quite some very brilliant people in different fields of endeavor that you get into. You know, I told you about some other people, you know, that I look at and the way they will tackle business challenges, come out of it, and this is, you know, and we have with some of them, I mean, some of very popular, we've shared common beds. We've traveled together, I've listened to how they've gone through things and how, you know, very important things. But in the midst of all of that, we both knew it was basically business. That my values were different. So you should have a relationship control. Now this is where many people get it wrong. This guy is very nice to me. He's very brilliant, very intelligent. That's not a litmus test to allow the person start to influence values. Your values are shaped, but nobody should be responsible for your values. God's word is responsible for your values. Then anybody who subscribes to it now can now be responsible for how you are influenced. So you must know what is first, then second and third. So just have relationship control. Proverbs 25. You know, people should be able to say, no, we can't discuss this when Kule is there. We can't discuss this when John is there. No, I say, Paula has entered, don't talk about this. And there are people you see every day, say, well, you know, she's a Bible person. That should be very obvious. They will know some jokes they cannot say when you are there. But I have people that I highly respect. That when I come to this, they just stop the joke. They'll say, if I one day, when I shared a joke with them, they looked at me, Pastor? Because they were surprised that I could, you know. So you should have relationship controls that people know you are around and know the kind of values you have. Hope you are learning something. Proverbs 25 and 28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. There has to be control. Jesus told the disciples, he says, contain your souls. Exercise control. Don't allow, I love what someone said, I read it a couple of minutes, okay, but that was way before church anyway. And he said that we're in a generation, so we're in a generation that seeks to always get your attention. I mean, things have changed. Things have changed. Your attention is needed everywhere. Your phones go out. You know, there's so much. Population has increased. So there's a whole lot of news passing. You know what I mean? I remember then Brother Hagin and Kenneth Copeland would teach us then that you don't watch the news. Don't do this one. And that was very applicable there because you can easily put off your TV and all of that. But can you put off your phone the whole day? You always like, even people that you love, that you put on your timeline, that on your Facebook, they'll just send something, bah! Before you put your eyes, you've already seen it. Both bad news, horrible thoughts. So it's an attention age. That's why it's so, so difficult to put off our phones when we are praying. So difficult. You are hearing God's words. So say, I don't understand it. How can I understand the teaching? The person who taught it took hours and days to meditate. You are just saying, playing in the background, going to the kitchen. You will understand it. So it's an attention generation. Before you know it, a blog is shaping your values for you. Consistently, you are going there. You are going there. You are going there. You know, different posts shaping your values. You see, Christians could no longer engage in politics and tolerate others. Christians started to hate people on political things because some people have schooled you, and the people that are schooling you, when they meet behind you, they laugh because you are the fool. Christians were hating on themselves. I even know pastors that stopped calling themselves a phone. Why do you use about this one? Why would you use about PDP? Why would you use about NBC? You are not a true Christian. On top of what? It's just, you support what I don't support. So what is the Bible for supporting? None. Do you get the point? You don't allow those kind of things to shape your values. So you are now looking down on one ethnic group, looking at another. No. You don't stereotype people. You don't even say things like, there's an Islamization agenda. That's because your attention has been gotten. We lived in the southwest of Nigeria, for example, and almost all families here have cousins, relatives that are Muslims. Almost all families. And what we had in our hearts was always to share the gospel. That one day, some of them have had arguments. Then somebody now says, they want to Islamize you. Then you start believing it. Your values have been changed. So someone you were seeking to preach the gospel to now becomes an enemy. You allowed the world shape your thoughts. Yet, when you seek for employment, you don't ask, what is the owner? Is he a Christian? You don't ask those stupid questions. You get the point. You don't. I tell people oftentimes, some of the greatest favors I've had in the secular world have been from non-Christians. Absolutely non-Christians. So you don't start, don't allow the world to squeeze you. So that, now, yes, we are believers, we are not unbelievers. However, you can't be a Christian and you are intolerant. I preside over an association of Muslims, Christians, Siamese, those who are both, those who are idol worshippers, those who are atheists. I preside over them. And every time we want to have any meeting, I'll ask the pastor to pray, I'll ask the imam to pray. And I'll close my eyes and say amen. But all of them, every day, they come on my Facebook wall and read what I say. Pray your prayer. Father, the one guy said, Anoika, Presido, why is this all Christian? There are Muslims that pray. I said, what do you want to pray for? He said, we can do Ifa now. I said, oh yeah, start. He said, I said, you are not even good. I can help you. Do you understand my point? No, don't say it here. Anoika is there. No, let's cover this one. You must not see it. And I've been their president for 10 years. They have chosen not to have an election. What are you laughing at? I'm trying to say that be tolerant. If you are going to preach the gospel to people and you are already calling them your enemies. Nobody has ever gotten born again after you call them your enemy. You are my enemy. Be born again. I hate you. You are my enemy. Christ died for you. No. So don't allow the world to start shaping your thinking. Believer, unbeliever. Not making sense. Start seeing people through the eyes of scripture. We said that already. This is someone Christ died for. So I'm praying and trusting God. In fact, recently one of the hardest Muslims of my class got saved. Hardened. Me and Pastor, I went to see him. Hardened. Very hardened. Nobody. So, in fact, I've had other Muslims. There's only a guy, I said, Baka the Salah. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm just greeting you. He said, no, I'm not a Christian. No. I said, with what you did for us in school. That's Damascus, so. But that happens. What is your prayer? That all men be saved. Why will you not become intolerant? Now, please understand what I'm saying, no? That's how some people in UI in those days started saying that they wanted to the Jew and become as a Jew. They were now going to nightclub, wearing a ring. My friend Larry said, they have not gotten to the where they are going to. Till some of them started smoking. So, you know, we have to, it's just lighting, just briefly, so that, you know, they can, to wear bandana and all of that, you know. After a while, the light became darkness. Gross darkness is big. So that's not what we're talking about. You must have values that you don't negotiate. Don't you know that consistency you do in church, in your fellowship, how you go every time is to shape your values. Where you go often is where your values are. So relationships are built on values. What are your values? It says, come out, be separate. We saw that word on Sunday. Come out. Doesn't mean you run away. It just means be distinct. Be ye separate. That is, be distinguished. Alright? I'll be to you a father, and you shall be sons and daughters unto me. Then it says, let us cleanse ourselves, 2 Corinthians 7:1, from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, which is a function of relationship. Because don't ever think that relationship can't affect you. Sometimes I go to business trips with people, and I know what they think. Let's go out to them. I say no. I say in my room, one day, I suffered one time I went to the French country. So I thought I would just watch CNN. This is every time I want to read the Bible. Okay? So I said I would just watch CNN and all that. So I got to, it was the first country. And they put on, that was my first time to see that there's CNN in French. You know? So when I came, I said, doctor, that was my boss name there. I said, doctor, CNN in French. I said,
French. His friend is speaking. He said, "Oh, you go out with us?" He knows it. I say,
"Doctor."
He said, "No, I'm just asking you." I said, "No, I'm not going out with you." He said, "No, you won't do anything. Just be watching us." I said, "No, you come and watch me too." Are you following what I'm saying? So, where are we going? You must be distinct. You must have your values. And those values even go to the kind of movies you watch. Some people say, let's just watch movies. And they say, what's the latest movie in town? You want to watch it? Must you watch it? Or see it? You know? Four, five. Don't you know those things are shaping the way you think? They're shaping you. So, as a principle, I've not asked you to apply it. Before I watch any movie, I watch the preview. I ask questions. What was it about? And I watch it. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Turn your ear to your sayings. Keep them in the middle of the heart of your eyes. It says, guard your heart, verse 23, from all, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues that govern life. Guard your heart. Don't you know that you are, that beach you thought was an ordinary beach party, you are influenced. Because oftentimes after one, you want the other. Why would you want the other, the next one? Because somehow you just liked what you saw. You were just free. Nobody is judging you. Everybody is just, you know, something like that. Can you party? Party after party. You say, you won't sing something, but you just like what you are seeing. Yes. I mean, people have let down their head. This is life. How is it life? It's not life. It's only a sight. And so, come out from amongst them and be separate. So we said on Sunday, and I'll talk from there today, you need to choose your friends. Choose. Jesus chose his disciples. Choose. Choose your friends. He chose the 12. He chose the 3. He chose Peter. Don't choose anyone as a friend or bring them close to you based on a weakness you have. Now, of course, a weakness is that area of your life where you have not practiced God's word. You already know that you are this fellow who is still trying to call flamboyance, extravagance, you know, all those things in your life. You already know. Why would you choose somebody who is exactly that weakness? This is exactly what happened to Samson and Delilah. And he was warned. And what I'm about to say, there are such relationships, just like Judas, there are such relationships that, you know, they will give you what you like and get what they want. Samson obviously got to a point where nobody could talk to him. He had his, you know, he started acting differently. And then got a woman who was used to go and get this guy and get him off. And therefore, it wasn't just that she kidnapped him. He found in her his own weakness. That area that, you know, if you are struggling with prayer, don't make somebody who doesn't pray a friend. He won't pray. If you are struggling with church commitment, don't make somebody who attends church online your friend. One of the things that helped me early in life, although I was a younger boy, I had this group of friends. In fact, I met a few of them recently. And we now were recording escapades. So one of my classmates said, "You did all this." I was very mischievous. Extremely. But our worlds are now different. The first step was I changed my friends. I saw people that, you know, what they will bring will be materials, books, Bible study. Well, I know I'm struggling with this. Okay? But this is what I eventually want to do.
It's not going to be easy. It's going to take commitment. But that is where I'm heading towards. And those kind of things will shape everything. They will shape who you marry. Deciding, knowing who to marry is not as Herculean as you think if you had known who should be your friend. So it's not as Herculean as some of us think. It's not. So at the end of the day, of course, it was now, okay, I had to get rid of this, have this. Took decisions against watching a lot of movies and all of that. And let me go after those who, rather than watch movies, they watch Benny Hinn. They watch Kenneth Hagin. You know? And that was it. Rather than go and borrow movies and watch. Because I grew up in a family where we sit down. There was in one time, we're watching, we had this census. Hey, I remember it now. Who knows that period? And we had this census time. I think it was 1991. And my family sat in the same place. And we watched a movie of 24 parts. North and South. Who knows that movie? Patrick Swayze. We watched that movie. We did not go. When I remember things like that, I say I will suffer myself more. We sat down. That is a family. My mom was cooking. My cousins. I will continue. We 24 parts. So I knew that with that kind of, I needed to go aggressive. So I went after those who, I remember Suji, the first thing he did for me, myself, someone like that, I think Femish was one of them. And he said, we're coming to his house at Joyce B, at AB Street. And he was going to make us pray for a whole day. Me that was sleeping for 2 hours. He said, no, it's a whole day. We were basically mates. But at that point, this is the kind of friend I needed. And then he locked us in a room. He gave us garri and bought akara for us. Said we should eat so that, because the journey is very far. So he now cleared the place. I thought we were going to play in his room. I have time to rest on the bed. He took us to a room and cleared the place. And said it's time to start. I wanted to say, small now. Can't we do 2 hours today, 3 hours tomorrow? I told myself, that's not what you need, though. Gradually can walk. Because from where you are coming from, that gradually, you won't get that destination until the rapture. But from where you are coming from, you need a friend that will take you to an extreme. And that was it. So I started cultivating first friendship for people who would rather you give me videotapes, we watch it together. Then we'll go to Uncle Daniel's house then, you know, and we go and watch many, just you sleep, wake up there. So I got used to first and foremost, knowing that I used to be a film encyclopedia. They would call me and say, what happened in this film? I'll sit down. If I ever met my sister before, my sister can describe a movie for you and pause. I say, at this point, he sighed. Then he moved back like, that was how we were as a family. I'm telling you. So, we're like that. So, I said, no, you are talking about part two. That's not part three. So, naturally, you have to go to that other place where you are now talking Bible that same way. Which one is what I'm talking about? So don't choose friends in your area of weakness. Where you are walking on the world. Of course, a weakness is that area, don't forget, where you are not practicing God's word. Jesus chose his friends. At that time where you are struggling with lust, is not when you start looking for a relationship. Marriage doesn't stop lust. It aggravates it. So at that point, deal with lust first. Or else you are going to get the same person just like yourself. So, choose your friends, which is make the choice, and choose them based on values. What are your values? We'll come to that shortly. Now, we said friendship, even when you make the right choices, you still have the same experiences like Jesus had. You had a Judas who had the betrayer status. Friends that you choose can betray you. They betrayed Jesus. And we saw what betrayal was. And I gave you a definition. If I remember, I said this to a friend who is a pastor, but we discuss church and secular things, politics and all of that. So he said that. I explained to him, I said, when you see someone respected, anybody respected, it's men who made us respect the person. I said, so whenever I see the same person is losing that respect, there's somebody amongst those who made us respect him who is causing it. So I said, a true friend is somebody who will never allow disrespect to you through him. Even when you have disagreements. No true friend is a door to dishonor you. True friends always elevate your honor. They increase it in value. Judas was not a true friend. He knew who the Pharisees were. Jesus kept on telling them who they were and what they were planning to do. In fact, many times you say they were going to kill him. He told them, Matthew 16:22, Matthew 16:21. He said all of that to them. He said, beware. Yet, somehow, he went for their convention. Somehow started buying their books. Yeah, there's no big deal. Let me be objective. I mean, don't be narrow-minded. Don't make objective people your friends, oh. They will use you for theory and objective. I'm not saying when you are together, you guys don't look at each other and say no. But people that always want to appear objective before the world, they will use you as a specimen. Life is sentimental, I told you. Everything we are doing is sentimental. Our believing in Jesus is sentimental. Others don't believe in it. And they have reasons, strong reasons. So life is sentimental. You must have friends who have sentiments about you. Well, that hasn't anything to say, oh, who is this? Who is that? But in his mind, he knows they might be correct. But he says, Wumi is a good Bible teacher. Wumi is a wonderful prayer leader. You know, he has applied sentiments. They've also applied sentiment because they chose not to see him as a good Bible preacher or a good prayer leader. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So everything is still sentiment. That bias you have. I have a bias for Jesus. What about you? I do. So it is the same thing in all relationships. Judas is that fellow who became so familiar, has access to you, you know, can call you night and day. Some of us are very funny. You know, you couldn't call someone before, you had to get the number and you were shaking. Ha, when they gave you the number, and you were doing this and doing that. And then when you now got the number. thank you, sir, for the privilege. That's the first day. After 2-3 months, you now start sending WhatsApp messages. You know? No. Remember how that relationship started. Who is who? So Judas is that guy. I will show something else so that I don't want to go back there again. That obviously where Jesus was, where he used to stay, was only known to his close circle. He needed somebody inside to take them to where he was. And he came and he gave him a kiss. A friendly kiss. He sent him a message just like a friend. And people were seated who wanted to read the response. No friend does that to you. He put you on speaker. You didn't know. He recorded your conversation. That was not a friend. That is a betrayer. Recorded the conversation. Who got your response so he can forward it to others? That's not a friend. So that kind of betrayal can happen. We also have denial. A friend can deny. Deny just means, no, of course, there was trouble. That wasn't the case with Judas. Peter was understandable. His humanity just came in. And he buckled under pressure. Ha, do you know him? And he's looking at it. Cross, cross, not me. You know him? Ah, cross. And he went on. And the other ones, Thomas also did not believe. Their humanity came in. Which means that in friendships, allow room for humanity. Betrayal is not one of that. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not one of it.
Sometimes your friend can be selfish. So you had 100k all along. Sorry. You know, it's not good, but it can happen. And all of that can, you know, throw fits at you and all of that. And then he gave them a chance. But the point was there was forgiveness and reconciliation, which you have to always implement to have long-standing friends. Don't be a perfectionist in relationship that people cannot offend you. Don't do that. I remember something Reverend Sam Adeyemi said in Rema Chapel then, Casino Cinema here, you know, that's one of the meetings, 94. And I just took from what he said. He said that there's something called, this is how he said it, the law of advanced forgiveness. And I'm not sure of the exegesis of it, but basically what he said is, when you have relationships, I used to attend Rema Chapel meetings then. I think that is a Bible study and all that. So he said that, is it Tuesday or Wednesday? Then he said that if you have friends, always give the room that they will need your forgiveness. And I'm saying this also for marriages because, see, even if you marry Jesus Christ, okay, in all his glory, there will be issues that will come up. So always have that advanced forgiveness deposit for all your relationships. But how should you observe something? Now, if you look at what we studied in Matthew 5, I showed you that before Jesus got to the issue of divorce and putting away, he had spoken about reconciliation. Can you remember? Anger and lust. Which means that he had told you how to handle relationships with, when you deal with anger, lust, and you know how to forgive and reconcile, where would divorce come out of? Matthew 5. That's the context. Now, let's add this to it. You know, one thing that this differentiates Judas with the other 11 was this. I don't think you probably have, maybe some of us haven't seen this before. Do you know that the 11, in spite of their humanity and weakness, they stayed together? That helped. Secondly was, they were still in a position Jesus could reach them. Go and tell them. That means they were in places where he could still reach them. So that was vital. That shows that they were only being human. Weakness-wise, they were not being evil. Denying is different from go and kill him. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They were human. Go and destroy him. Peter didn't say go and destroy him. He just said, I don't know him. It's not good for relationships. But when you look at the circumstance and you say, well, we're just getting to know. And in that instance, these guys did not have the Holy Ghost. So that was enough platform to say, okay, let's give them another chance. And I said on Sunday, always have the room for another chance. But when you discover that somebody has a DNA of unfaithfulness, okay, just keep the person away from your circle of friends. Always know there is, in every relationship you have, ask yourself, where is the crowd? Where is the 70? Where is the 12? Where is the 3? Who is the 1? Now, the concept of best friends is usually not realizable. Many times it's somebody you eventually come to know probably at the end of your life. It could be, it may not be. But there are those who will be in the 70, those in the 12, those in the 3, and those in the 1. Know who knows what. I told you on Sunday, always know who you talk to and what you told them. Information is what? Information is what? Your life and the information you give are the same. Watch this social media era where you want to put your kids' pictures on Facebook. You want to tell everybody that they're having birthday. Are they on Facebook? You born baby, Facebook. If it's not on Facebook, will the baby die? You know, people have had so much access to people's lives because their lives are in the media. If Paul had a Facebook account, I can tell you what will be there. That's why we are all struggling to know the age of Jesus, the age of Paul. Because it wasn't something they were talking about all the time. For some of us, by the time you open your letter, I, Paul, born I live in my own island. Because we know where he lived. Even his profession, you will need to read the book of Acts. So the person who said it is in the close couple. So I was telling one time, he said, I don't like our pastor. I said, why? He said, we don't know many things about him. I said, like what? He said, you don't know this. What do you want to know? You want to know where he lives? Don't you have your house? He said, you know, he says, is that why you came to church? He goes, I said, if you stay long enough and you are faithful, I'm sure you will know it. But you have not even stayed 1 year. You want to know him. So you add him to the list of the churches you have been to. Some people have hard disk of pastors, hard drive of different pastors. I've been in that ministry before. the pastor. I'll tell you what I know. So what about that church? That one. If I start talking about that one now, so tomorrow we won't finish. What about that one? That one, as soon as I knew the... oh God, what are you? Oh God. So, the truth is, you need to know who is who. Know who you talk to. What did you say? Just like Bible teaching, you can determine what you will say per time. Information is power. You know, there are certain things that when people get to know from you, is to have access to somebody that is close to you. So be smart enough. I know people, for example, who subtly befriend people who are in a church and their workers there so that they can be getting information about that church. And those ones too, they've used their head for trade by barter. Your head has been used. You think the person wants to learn ministry? No! He's only gathering information. So to one pastor one day, I said, how do you get to know all this about church? He said, no, they come to me. They come to you. What did they see in you? Confirm sources. Don't do that. Be wise. When you are in leadership, for example, in a church, or you're a worker, it's a privileged position. And whatever is in the workers' meeting stays there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Same thing. Just like a family meeting. How many of you go out in school? When you were in school, you went there. You know, we had a family meeting yesterday. And daddy said this about mommy. That guy look at me and say, are you sure they are your parents? Go ask again. They are not even adopted. This one, you are adopted. So therefore, we said the first thing in relationships and choosing people, friendships and all of that, is compatibility. Oftentimes, the requirement to pray when a man or woman wants to choose a marital partner or a spouse becomes more difficult when he or she never determined who got close to him. They now start fasting unnecessarily. You never did fasting for WCC, you struggle to fast. Just in when we are fasting, you break at 12. Already you have eaten about 6. But when it comes to this issue, because you have already allowed so much into your space, you start to fast. You start to listen to teachings about leading of the Spirit. You didn't do it for discipleship, for evangelism. You know, when your disciples don't grow spiritual, you just say, the guy is just hard-hearted, sclerocardia. Why comes this issue? In fact, now you say this is like your teaching, for one of these guys, he said that some of you, you know, when we used to do hacking, some of you, your only encounter with the supernatural is a relationship issue. That's your only encounter. That's the only time you hear God's voice. Every other time, you block it. But when it comes to these issues, you say, Lord, speak. Your servant heareth. So compatibility is the key. Can two walk together except they have a designation, an appointed place? In Acts 1:21 and 22, when they were going to pick a replacement for Judas, look at the key elements. Who was at the baptism of John? Till the day he was taken up. It's not difficult. Mark out crucial and key moments of your life.
key events in your life, epochal facts, things that they are part and parcel of your values, meetings you have attended, events that matter to you, things that you can talk about. When you say, well, when you talk about your life, talk about how you maybe had a whole week of praying and fasting. Something like that. You talk about study. You talk about how, you know, you were supposed to go into a business venture. You were led by the Spirit not to do it. You know, basic things like that. Those epochal moments, very vital things, is what will make you compatible with somebody else. Not that the person has the same experience, but very similar. Don't get into close relationship with people that you'll have to bear their burdens all the time. One day, you will become the burden. Look at Barnabas and Paul. Christian moments. Acts 9, Acts 13. There should be events you can point to. Key events in your life. Key things. Have you had moments of repentance, change, consecration? Friends should be those who have had the same experiences. They've had to consecrate, you know, to the Lord. I'm not talking about people that share some terrible experience with you. You know, me too, I was an orphan. And then, you know, my houseboy sexually molested me. Please, don't go and form that kind of association. Or victims. I'm saying key moments of your life. I responded to the call of God. I began to grow. I discovered God's power in healing. Things that are key. You know, how selfishness was broken down in your life. Started becoming a giver. You know, basic things. The virtues of hard work, diligence, even in the secular world. Let that be what you look at. Choose your friends. Don't let life choose friends for you. Choose your friends. I've said this to you many times. Anyone who shows up when you are in your vulnerable moments, I'm saying backsliding. It was sent to his attack. That moment, the best just shows up. He never called you for years. Or as you say, my God, I am trying to backslide. You are not backing. You are just moving small. And then guys just sent you a text. What's up, guy? Long time. Attack. I'm not joking, no. You know, somebody say, hey. He was there for me. When? She was there for me. When? At moments of disobedience. There to partner you in it. Key moments. Those whom you can communicate with. I mean, not just talking, but have conversations. Don't forget, much of Jesus' conversations in the four Gospels were with his friends. People you converse with every day, you talk to. Values are shared, shaping and sharpened. Of course, not that I've zeroed in now on spiritual relationships, but I'm saying generally that you can have relationships that are not spiritual, but you must be spiritual with them. Whether it's in your career, whether it's in other things, it must not be such that you start being non-spiritual. You can be spiritual with a non-spiritual relationship. It says, learn of me. In friendships, we learn of each other. You look at spirituality. Jesus brought people from different backgrounds, the 12, different career path, but their spirituality bound them. He was a carpenter, but the disciples, there was not one that was one. We had a tax collector, we had fishermen, we had those who, fishermen basically, tax collector, and all of that. But he was a carpenter. But then you can also have those that you share a career path with. Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila, Acts 18, is a typical example, verse 1 to 3. Very unique. And I think many of us need to also bring that, because something I've observed in the Christian world is that many of us can't have that relationship. As soon as that comes up, we don't know where to draw the line. But when you look at all Paul's writings, Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 16, you discover that they were able to manage it well. They were practically business partners. of the same craft, and that is why till today we are still making references to them. I mean, are we saying they didn't have circumstances that will make them fall out? They would now. It's not possible. There will be issues of, you know, things that I've worked hard now. I should have 60%. You should have 40%. I'm sure Paul would have said, when you look at 1 Corinthians 6, I said, well, for the sake of what we have together, no. Don't let me think only as a businessman. I'm a Christian businessman. Are you following what I'm saying? So we should be able to manage. In fact, one of the things Dr. Balewa taught me, and I don't forget, he's not a Christian. But, though his mom was, but he, there was a day we were having a transaction. We were supposed to do some of our scrap metals and take them to some, from East African countries and then take them abroad. So I had basically who was going to buy. I never knew this part of business. This was 2004 or 5. Then he said, I had conversations with Christians that would sit down, would almost argue for hours over, no, the agency. I will argue after praying before the prayer meeting. You know, before business, we will pray and lie. We're going to deceive ourselves. We now say, Father, take control of this business. I will know the control is that let me cheat him. I know what I'm saying. You know, I mean, I've not been a businessman for years, for a few years, but I think I can say. And so he just said to me, he said, automatically, because you brought the person, he said, you have 51%. He said, then, he said, this is the principle. So this is how I was taught, and of course, he's quite an exposed person. He said, then, in the 49, because you are now part of the company, you will have 15%. Unbeliever. Whereas, Brian will say, Do you understand? So, I kind of felt, this is interesting. He said, this is the virtue of a true businessman. You must stick to your values. Hey, I'm not a Christian. I started like this without my scripture. What I just learned was, whatever was his value, he didn't devalue it because of money. That's critical. A Muslim. Of course, a Muslim that when he finished quoting scripture for you, you'll be scared. Very intelligent, so he will quote. They quote the Bible very well. I think we'll quote the Bible more than I can. I think so. So, that's vital. That, how did I get here? Learn of milking. Look at the spirituality. Priscilla and Aquila, I said, being good Christian business partners does not mean you are praying all the time. No. It means that you value that relationship. It's not about doing devotion early in the morning. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. I know you come from heaven. The same thing, I want to just call you. I'm bringing this deal. Please, it's between you and I, not your partner. You say, You know, that's just where I'm. Okay, no problem, no problem. So your partner does, now comes. The Christian partner. Say, who was that? I just want... Let me stop here. I'll share more later. So spirituality must be there. Also watch out for the natural appetites. We'll look at this later. Anyone close to you, their natural appetite is going to affect you. Even if you don't eventually do it. Natural appetites. If it becomes an appetite that leads to sin, be very careful. Look at the natural appetite. Spirituality, compatibility. Then finally on that, we said, every relationship must go through tests and trials. There will be times you have to prove. I've had relationships where the thing broke down. I look back and I have not a sense of regret as such, but I wish I did better. And I always come back and tell people that in every relationship, watch what I'm about to say. And I'm saying this to those who are married, those who are unmarried, those who are friends, business partners. Always have the bigger picture. The bigger picture is bigger than the small picture. You know, the bigger picture is everything together. But the smaller pictures, last week, the way he spoke. I mean, look at how we messed up that deal, the smaller picture. But there's always a bigger picture. Usually, you look at the bigger picture from where you were coming from. Moments where you were there for each other. So always have the bigger picture in mind. Jesus had the bigger picture. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This guy did it in Matthew 10. He knew they could do it again. With the Holy Ghost, with the new birth,
He knew they were committed to him. Even though they failed at some point, will always see the bigger picture. Don't be judgmental in relationships. There's no relationship that can grow in an atmosphere of nagging and looking for faults. Men and women who are married, brothers and sisters who are in relationships, friends, don't kill relationships with what Ecclesiastes will call it, or Jeremiah, when you are overtly righteous. Overtly righteous. Always pointing out something. Something is wrong. Who put this here? Who put that there? Who did this? You don't know. You can't breed a relationship like that. Don't start getting petty, you know, unnecessarily. I know a couple like that, that if they ask you why they divorced, the husband is an assistant, was an assistant pastor in the 90s. I don't know what the wife is now, but I don't know what he's doing now. I have not found out. You know what caused their divorce? Close up. Toothpaste. She grew up in a home, you know, where the mom taught them where to press the tube. Somebody once told me that in a marital counseling meeting in the 90s, I said, I looked at how he was too, the way he brushed his mouth, he's too quick. I'd never heard that before. I was in the boarding house. What were you saying you are doing with your teeth? One day my dad sat before me. He saw me eat. He said, you are not eating. I said, I'm eating. He said, you are not eating. You are only taking in the food. He said, you don't chew. I said, I never noticed this. He said, I do. He said, because I was like you. We attended the same school. Because there's a bell. We eat in government college. I think everything must be done in 3 minutes. Oh, look at you. In fact, the very wicked ones. He said, Bagal, start messing. Messing is to serve. It's not to abuse yourself or to, you know. Start messing. Pagan. Mess over! The reason is, so you drop what you are doing, leave the hall, and the seniors will take the food. So, we knew how to start messing. And you can't carry the food outside. So, what I developed, just put nylon, put the food. So, imagine, I want to get married to you, you are coming how I eat. As I am, so I was. You have to leave. Don't get petty. Do you understand? Mother said, you don't chew. I said, I know. Say, yeah, quickly, you finish eating. Over there to change. So when the one said, that he doesn't, I said, well, he doesn't bring out his tongue when he's... But, so I started thinking that, me too, I don't bring out my tongue. You know, so, you know, don't get petty. So this particular couple, the mother had taught them how to press close up from the, you press the tube, from the tube. What are the person that use Paco? Or the family was sharing the toothpaste. You know? So you get, oh, in the body house, the senior will have collected the toothpaste at the beginning of the time. What do you have? Pepsodent, you are mad. You don't know Pepsodent? Who told you Pepsodent? Who? Give it to me! So you now go and borrow toothpaste. Do you even know where they were pressing it? After everything is finished, you start to... So you know, so the woman was like, Oni, don't do... She was getting angry over where they were pressing the toothpaste. So one day, she was so angry. Why should you press it from the middle? I'm not joking, no. That is what ended the marriage. And the man said, I cannot stay with the woman that can slap me. I understand that. So he just left the house. The boat went to work. You know those kind of men that they will hide the old man. The old man is just on life support. He has not died. They'll put the old man somewhere. Any anytime they need to go, they just put oxygen. they don't want to do to the other. The man just waited, went to work, came back during work hour, changed the entire keys of the house, put our things at the gate. They are not married again, in fact, so they are married now, but different people. So what happened? Close up. Worst case, buy your own. That is pressed from hell to heaven. Let the person that wants to start in the middle of the road, start. Petty. So how many somebody complaining that the husband was snoring? Even our Lord Jesus snored. He said he was sleeping heavily. What is the heavy sleep is? Anointed. If you can't sleep, there's something they buy. You say, darling. Don't get petty. Don't get judgmental. When you are all, and this is not just marriage, every little, just every, you are looking for something. Who is doing you? In an atmosphere of threats. Before anything, how can we be friends like this? How can I marry you? How can we go ahead? How do you want to breed a relationship with fear and threats? There was one guy like that. The doctor was always telling him, the way you are going, I don't think I can continue. I don't think I can continue. She has said it long enough. One of those days. He said, I don't think I can continue. He said, the guy did not beg. Did you hear me? I heard you. What do you have to say? I feel the same way. Why? Have I ever asked you? So what are you saying? What you are saying? You are you again? Yes. Why now? Did you end that though? One day, monkey will go market. It may go come back again. Don't use threats. One day, there was one senior like that. He will always harass me. And he just has something against me because my elder cousin was a senior. They called him a Jebu. I think he dealt with them. So they waited for him to graduate. They were not dealing with me. So he would threaten me to do this. One day, he just said, go away! Even the teacher was talking, I said, please man. I said, go! And he was like, boss. So he was surprised. I said, I will deal with you in this school. Let me tell you. I said, make him out. My father is this. My daddy. I said, look. He was scared. Nobody's wrong. If I beg you, beg you, beg you, beg you. I'm telling you, if I beg you, and you are now unbeggable, I say, okay, go! So he was following me. So I now went to the house master. He was following me. What else was looking at me? I went there. I said, sir, warn him! I said, no, what did he do? I said, look, sir, we're done. Eventually, he wanted to punish me, so he took me to a place to come and cut grass because he found an offense. Sir, you called this one, sir. After I did that to him, he says, come and see me next time. I said, yes, I've heard. That was the last time. It works. That was the last time. He keep threatening people. One day, they just said, go and do your worst. What did you say? What did you hear? Because when you push somebody to the wall and the wall is too high, you say, yes, you can't jump again. No, okay, let's all do it. It's either die or live. Don't breed relationships without any threats. Anything. I don't think I will continue again. Oga, go away. As you are abandoning the person, somebody better than you. You know somebody better than you? Far better than you. But Tim used to tell us, let me share that one today. This life, sir, there is nobody that does not have duplicates and better versions. Always know that. Don't think that you are the only person that you are exclusive. You are this. No. Always put worth on those who are in relationship with you. Don't think you are the only person that is this, you are that. No! God, even when we were sinners, Romans 5:8, He called us His own. He put dignity and honor on us. Don't threaten people. Don't threaten your husband. I'll pack my things. Pack it! I'll get you Uber. Don't do that. When you have friendships, be loyal. There will be hard times. There will be things. But don't threaten people. Don't do that. After a while, you see your threats are empty. And there will be better people, far better than you, that will appreciate that person. You will now be eating Lux and Joy soap and Tetmosol. That's jealous. You will be eating it raw. It's not about what, though. Something is preparing you. When you don't value something, those who value it will get it. If you don't value friends, better friends will come to those people. If you don't value your spouse, somebody... So don't feel bad. Don't breed reason and of threats and fear. Let your relationship be filled with love, encouragement, inspiration. There are times of correction. There are times where things will go wrong. But do not breed a relationship out of fear. Hope you are following what I'm saying. Friends tell each other the truth. Let me start closing by saying this. This is for marriage. Before you get married, you look very well. You have to look. Look very well. I don't know what I'm talking about. When you get married, you start overlooking. Hope you understand what I mean. Look at your values. Let's ask some few questions. Very practical. Sex cannot be for all time. Same as money. Money can come and go. Sex can lose its pleasure. And all of that. It's so foolish to build a relationship with sex. Does it make sense? What will stay? Sex, fun. You like fun. Fun. God, yes, you are like this guy. It's fun to be with. It can't be like that all the time. It's humorous. Tell me somebody that is always cracking jokes. Even Alibaba. They say in his house, it's very serious. Because you have serious issues. That joke is to make money. He cannot spend that money with jokes. No, I read, he's one of the guys I like reading after. He's quite an intelligent guy. I follow him. Is the way, because I love the way he built the, you know, comedy industry. It's, you can put a lot, I mean, we had this guy, Danjuma, they were all there, all these other guys were before him, Samanja. Well, he did something very unique. So I follow him. I said, no, at home, very serious person. And when you see his intellectual contributions, you know he's a very sound guy. Don't you joke, though? That joke is for you to laugh and boom, moving money. It's fun to be with. It's fun to be with. See, the guy is always sweet and smart. Always looking nice. Is the day is just boo? Not boo? That's the day you will know that that is makeup. We are all human beings. We have some of our human rights, human eba. Are you following me? Success cannot be all the time. There will be times of failure. There will be times... So, build it on values. Values, convictions, beliefs should be the auto drive
of your relationships. And those values will come. Those values will now dictate. They will dictate sex. They will dictate success. They will dictate when money comes, fun, and all of that. Different stages of your life. Brother Hagin will say this, obviously, and other, kind of statistics. The four things usually wreck marriages. They say money, sex, religion, and kids. Money, sex, religion, and kids. But when you have people that have the same values about all that, their marriages usually last. We'll come to that when we get to marital relationships. So values are every day. Don't go for a mismatch. Where there is a mismatch, reconciliations are very, very difficult. In Matthew 18, it says, if your brother offends you, don't forget that's the key word, you share family. It's when your brother offends you, you can go with two other brethren. What if a non-brother offends you? Who do you go with? Then you go to the church, the ecclesia. Which means that the reason why reconciliation was very possible is because there are shared values. It's not a mismatch. What was Judas doing with the Pharisees remains another question that we all need to ask. You already know they don't believe what you believe. You know they are not going to where you are going to. What was the association about? You don't read things from people that you know don't, you know they are against what you believe. How are you reading it for? Anything I read or hear influences me. I've told you, information is power. There's nothing you watch and see, no matter how spiritual you are, that does not affect you. You are going to think about it. Have you not observed how you remember things that happened when you were a child? That's how powerful your mind is. Guard your heart. When you guard your heart, you guard all your relationships. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, don't go for a mismatch. The mismatch can even be somebody in your church. So don't think I'm talking about people in your church. No. Paul had people in 1 Corinthians. He would say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. There was a brother in 1 Corinthians 5 who was having his father's wife. 1 Corinthians 6, some were taking themselves to court. 1 Corinthians 7, some were having women that were not their wives. 2 Corinthians 13, Paul said 12, 29 or thereabouts, some were sinning. 2 Thessalonians 3, they didn't obey the leaders. So that is not a given. That somebody is in church, buys all the books, says, oh, it's the word. Christ is all. Okay? Let's move further. I told you that God gives information to those who trust Him. So faith is the beginning of lasting relationships. People that trust you. Just like faith is in God, then we get to know. So, and it's critical to know that Christianity is a relationship. The resurrection is a relationship. We must therefore learn from the faith of Christ how to breed good relationships. We'll continue from there next week. Amen. Hallelujah.